Good morning, Margaret.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Very well, thank you.
That's good to hear. Now, you have been quite public about the need to have accessible housing. Are there any kind of legal frameworks that property designers are required to stick to, specifically with features that aid the elderly and those who are less mobile?
There are. They are for public spaces and places. Mm. So now any public space or place must be accessible and non-discriminatory in its access. So we take for granted now the pathways, the parks, the open spaces and the public buildings we have, that people who have some limitations in their mobility will be able to manage reasonably well. However, in private spaces, that is your home and where you live, there are no requirements for access to be provided through the construction industry.
Mm-hmm. You've mentioned before that builders tend not to consider the needs of the old, disabled or frail when designing houses. Given that none of us can actually, unfortunately, escape the aging process, why do you think these kinds of needs are being overlooked?
Well, I don't want to blame the housing industry. We're all complicit in the industry that provides housing for us. We want the cheapest housing possible at the best price. Mm. Therefore, the housing industry is established or set up to build housing that is affordable as possible for people who are going to buy it. Now, it then assumes that people who are going to buy housing are going to think about their old age. And we have found from the research that this is not the case, that when you're buying a new house, the last thing you're thinking about is when you are going to be frail, old, or dying. Mm. So it is a false argument from the housing industry and from government that it is an issue of market forces.
What kind of costs and complications are involved with modifying houses after they have been built, as opposed to just having these features from the start?
The figures are striking. The Victorian government's work in this area suggests that for an ordinary house, it's around $800. Now, that's the cost of a washing machine. Mm-hmm. Or a new dryer, and but to put those features in after construction, it costs 19 times more. So we're looking here at around $10,000.
So if you are an elderly person on the pension, that is quite a significant sum of money to start modifying your house.
Yes, it is. And so therefore, the governments are approached and have, in different ways, provided funds for home modifications. So there is an issue here, not only for individuals, but for the government at large, that they are spending money which could be saved by designing housing properly from the start.
Mm. If you have just joined us, you're tuned into 2SCR 107.3 on the daily. We are talking to Margaret Ward about Australian housing standards and whether they are failing our ageing population. So, Margaret, if people are staying in hospital for longer purely because they are waiting for these home modifications, is this taking a significant toll on our public healthcare system?
Well, it doesn't take much thought to work this out when it costs over $1,000 a day to stay in hospital. So you just need to stay in hospital for 10 days more than you would normally stay, and you've paid for significant modifications to your house. Well, the government has spent the money elsewhere. So and we do know that hospitals are under enormous pressure to move people back home, and you need to talk to any occupational therapist who works through the hospital system. They are continually tearing their hair out about the design of housing and what needs to be done to get someone out of the hospital system where they're prone to infection and and neglect, to get them back home with their families.
So when a homeowner goes to build their house, they're, you know, trying to think of 60 years in the future when they are elderly and struggling, what are the sort of things that they do need to be thinking about?
Well, we talk about three key things. The first is that one entry is has no step, and that could be through the garage. It's a very easy thing to do, so that someone can be unloaded from a car or can get out of a car and then into the house without having to get upstairs. One step can stop people. The second is that corridors and doorways are wide enough for someone with a mobility aid to be able to go down and turn into a bathroom or a bedroom or the living room. And that is not a big ask, because many houses now and apartments have quite wide corridors and doorways. The third is that the bathroom is large enough to for someone to come in and move their mobility aid to be able to get to the toilet and to get into a step-free shower. Within that also is that there is some capacity to put grab rails easily on the wall if needed. Now, all of those features are very doable, and most houses have one or two of those features. The rub here is that not all houses have all of the features. So there is a frustration for people who are trying to get in the house. They may actually have a wonderful bathroom, and many people have quite large bathrooms, but they can't get in the front door. Or they may be able to get in the front door, but there's a step into the bathroom. So it's about understanding what it is and what we call a continuous path of travel, so that anybody can come into the house, stay for a short time, be able to go to the toilet, and leave with dignity. It's not a big ask.
No, it definitely isn't. And I think it is hard to modify existing homes and apartments, but especially with new homes that are being built, it is quite a simple, I feel, and as you say, a simple ask to make sure that on the ground floor particularly, these things can be ticked off the checklist.
Well, it brings to front and centre a very key question. And that is, who do we want in our communities? Who do we want to be part of our lives? And right now, the way we endorse housing being built is that we are isolating and segregating people with disability and older people in a very subtle way. So the key question is, when we have Christmas dinner, who is it that we can't ask to our party, to our family gathering, because we simply have poor housing design?
And I think an important point to raise is it's not only the elderly and the less mobile that can be affected. If you have a sudden injury at work and, you know, for a month or two or even permanently need to use a walking aid or something like that, I think you'd thank yourself for thinking of these things beforehand.
Absolutely. And it's often that event that brings to consciousness for people the need for some consideration around this. For instance, I just heard from our professor of urban design, who was on crutches over Christmas, and he wrote to me and said, I get it now, Margaret. I now understand.
I can imagine.
So sometimes people need it a bit of a slap before they actually understand what this means.
I think it can be hard for most people to fully understand it until you're standing there at your front door, unable to get into the house. But thank you very much for joining us on The Daily this morning, Margaret. You have definitely given us plenty of food for thought.
And thank you for the opportunity.
You're very welcome. Have a good day.
Thank you.